Marcus Sahaba Online Radio, serving you wherever you are.
घर से डोला चला लाडली का क्या क्या नजारा है ये जिंदगी का घर से डोला चला लाडली का क्या क्या नजारा है ये जिंदगी का कितने नाजों से पाला था हमने हर तरह से संभाला था हमने हाय हमसे जुदा हो रही है हाय हमसे जुदा हो रही है घर की यादों में वो
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا بكم Tuesday morning on our program The Bliss of Marriage. My name Arafat bin Ibrahim Hatia. And of course, our beloved engineer early this morning, it's only 5 after 11. South African time. It's a beautiful morning here in Johannesburg. So we welcome our beloved engineer, Brother Bonface. He's looking very good. He's smiling. So definitely, I assume he's doing well. Our beloved engineer, Brother Bonface. I want to welcome our beloved listeners of Sirius FM, Haji Faisal Asmal and Hafiz Yusuf Asmal in company, Sirius FM. And I want to welcome our beloved listeners of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. To all our beloved, wonderful listeners, if you do have any questions, then I know you are listening and I know you are tuning in on this Tuesday morning, The Bliss of Marriage. Our WhatsApp number is 084-786-3132. 084-786-3132. International overseas listeners, plus 2 7 8 4 7 8 6 3 1 3 2 plus 2 7 8 4 7 8 6 3 1 3 2. It's the 15th of June 2021, Yomu Thulatha, which is also the 4th of Dhulqa'dah 1442. And if any listener out there, see the messages are coming in, yes, you can inshallah send your message on 084 786 3132. Let's welcome, inshallah, our beloved senior honorable Fadilatul Ustad on this beautiful, mashallah, Tuesday morning on our program, The Bliss of Marriage. Ustad, hope you feeling much better and hope you're doing well. Ameen. We welcome you, inshallah, this morning on our program, The Bliss of Marriage. Welcome to the show. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum wa arafat. Jazakallahu khair. Alhamdulillah wa ta'ala's help and mercy.
Ameen.
Much better, inshallah.
Ameen. Let's start with Lanesha, Ustad. A sister says, what rights does my wife have in regards to her parents after the marriage? They recording, Ustad.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah, we welcome the listeners of Sirius FM and Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Whenever we want to solve any problem, our first point of reference must be the noble Quran, and second, the Sunnah Mubarakah, the teaching, preaching of Habibuna Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In Surah 59, verse number 7, Almighty Allah Jalla wala teaches us, وَمَا آتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ. Whatever Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam brought, commanded, you must accept it then take it. وَمَا نَحَاكُمْ أَنْهُ فَانْتَهُ. And whatever Habibuna Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam prohibited you from, you must abstain and refrain from that. Now the hadith is mentioned in Mustadrak Hakim. Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, إِنَّ أَعْظَمَ النَّاسِ حَقًّا الرَّجُلُ أُمُّهُ. The person who has the greatest rights over the male, even after his marriage, is still his mother. I'm married, I got a wife, I have a mother, my mother passed away, I'm giving an example. So still my mother will have a greater right over me compared to my wife. وَإِنَّ أَعْظَمَ النَّاسِ حَقًّا الْمَرْأَةِ. And the person that will have the greatest rights over the lady who's married, زَوْجُهَا, will be her husband. So the husband has more rights compared to her parents. Let me just give you and illustrate this point via an example. You are from Durban and you got married here in Johannesburg. Or you are from Johannesburg and you got married in Durban or Springs or wherever. So now, remember when you got married in Durban, but you are from Johannesburg. So in a case like that, now Durban is your home. So there you stay for 1 week, 1 month, 6 months, 1 year. You must eat full salat. When you come here to your parents' place for a weekend, to a long weekend, 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, like that. So you will be reading Qasr Salat. Why? This is no more your home. Your home is there where your husband is. So it shows that your husband has more right than your parents. But that does not mean that your husband must be an oppressor, a tyrant, and a dictator, that he wants you, the wife, to cut off ties with her parents and so forth. So that is also wrong. Habibuna Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when you study the Hajj sermon, the Hajjatul Wida, you find the Master alayhi salatu salam said, Inna Allah qad a'ta kulla zi haqqin haqqa. Verily, Almighty Allah has given every person a right who is eligible to their rights. So depending how far, how near the parents are of the lady, so she must go there once a month, once in 6 months, once a year or so forth, depending on the distance, the practicality, the feasibility and so forth. So you, the husband, should also understand that she also wants to meet her family and so forth. So it is a give and take relationship.
Somebody says, Yo, Ustad, I don't know, Ustad, you need to hear this message. Somebody heard Mufti say that there is a boy age 21 who wants a girl with no phone. There is a girl who is also looking for a boy around the age of 25 who is willing to divorce her phone. She is willing to stay home, cook and clean and look after the kids. And she has two conditions. One is, he must not marry while she is alive. And two is, he must follow the Majlis, Maulana A.S. Desai, our Hazrat. Ask Mufti A.K. what he says. He knows of any boys. Is there any boys like this? This is her prince and she is waiting. Please help and advise the sister, Ustad.
MashaAllah, both parties got conditions and we in the middle. So you must remember that. This youngster, I don't know him. He just contacted me, but I know his family and so forth. Sometimes you know the family, but you don't know you're the youngsters. So he's a Hafiz, he's 21 years old, MashaAllah. So I told him jokingly and lightheartedly that I can arrange for you four. One Hanafi, one Maliki, one Hanbali, one Shafi'i, you know. So what he said, fine, arrange, is no problem. But don't take my name, don't take my family. I said, no, definitely we will not do that. Mm-hmm. We will not even mention from where you are. But he said he wants a girl, a lady who never went to school, meaning she did homeschooling and so forth, and no phone and so forth. So remember, so you came with your two conditions. So you say that if and when he marries you and you accept it, then he must not marry somebody else while the marriage subsists. So we can tell him that there's no problem. And then second condition, you say he must follow the majlis. That is Hazrat Mohana Ahmad Sadiq Desai, Hafizahullah. So anyway, sister, this afternoon sometime, I will send him that message. And then you can just send me a message tomorrow or Thursday or Friday. So make leave it off for the Thursday or so. And then, inshallah, you tell me that my number is 07. We don't want to discuss this on the air now. Mm-hmm. So 071-888-1184. You can ask me what happened regarding that boy. Is he interested or not and so forth. So always you the sister who wants to get married, and remember that he who wants to get married, the boy, always ask Allah for khair and goodness and so forth. So we don't know what is your age. You should even tell us what is your age, because first thing he will ask that what is her age and so forth. So just send a message and tell us what is your age and so forth. 071-888-1184. And inshallah, if there's khair for both of you, yeah, Allah Jalla Wala will unite you.
Ustad, we will contact you inshallah.
Very good.
Let's go to the next question. Brother from Mayfair, Ustad, says, I am unmarried, dear Mufti Saab, and I uttered loudly, I divorced my wife after marriage. Please state if this will be a valid talaq. Anonymous brother, Ustad.
So you must remember that if you said it in a manner of a condition, if and when I get married, then there will be talaq, then according to the Hanafis, the one talaq will take place. According to majority scholars, that because you don't have any wife at the moment and so forth, so all that will be null and void. So if you just said it, she will be divorced or something, so then you must remember the Hanafis only will say one talaq will take place, and therefore you should not play with all these type of things and so forth. But majority scholars say it becomes kalam elagh, it's just futile speech, and remember that there are no repercussions and no consequences. But all said and done, my advice to you, these are issues you should not be saying, remember, because then it can lead to a lot of complications and a lot of problems in the future as well.
I see a sister wants to know, Ustad, of course it's not regarding the program. She's from Escort, and she says, Mufti Saab, my husband is saying that are the Shias involved regarding this killing in Gaza in Palestine? And the wife says, no, the Shias are not involved. Husband says, yes, they are involved. Ustad, your answer.
You must remember, whenever people ask us a question, we need to be honest. Number one is this, the Shias are kuffar. That's the first point you must remember. Second point, you can ask me, why are they kuffar? So I will tell you 10, 20, 50, 100 reasons. I'll just give you the most famous ones. That you see, every Muslim, we believe in the Quran Sharif. The Quran Sharif has 6,236 verses and 114 surahs and chapters. They are most authentic book, Usul ul-Kafi, written by Kulaini. So there it is mentioned that there are 17,000 verses in the Quran. So when you ask them, where is that Quran? They say is by the Imam, the murder Imam who is Ghaib, Muntazir, that they are waiting for him almost 1200 years, he's there in the cave. So now when people believe in this, 100% they are kuffar. Next one, they say the Sahaba, the beloved student companions, whom Almighty Allah has praised each one of them in the noble Quran. They, the Kuffar Shia, say that Sayyidina Abu Bakr, Sayyidina Umar, Sayyidina Usman, Sayyidina Aisha, Sayyidina Hafsa, and majority of the Sahaba, Allah forbid, are out of the fold of Islam. So how can we ever accept them as Muslim? Third one, majority of the Ahadith, they reject it, remember, whether it's in Bukhari, Muslim, Abu Dawood, Tirmidhi, Nasa'i, Ibn Majah, Mu'tah, Malik, Musnad, Ahmad, whatever. They only will accept those ahadith that suits their whims, fancies and desires. For example, wa Fatima tu Sayyida tu Nisa'i Ahlil Jannah. Sayyida Fatima radiallahu anha is the leader of the women in Jannah, the hadith in Tirmidhi, authentic, they'll accept that. But majority, they will reject. So remember that. Next one, show me one action. One. That the whole chapter we agree. Our kalima is different, our adhan is different, our hudu is different, our salat is different, our siyam fasting is different, our hajj is different. So everything is different. So much so, brother in escort or sister in escort, remember husband-wife relationship also we got difference of opinion. We say for the man to go and sodomize his wife and go in the back passage, totally haram, you can lose your iman and faith and so forth. They say totally permissible. You must remember that. So remember, I sent it out many a time and I told you there that the Shias, kuffar, they love, you must remember, backdoor business, you see. And Khomeini, the kafir, non-Muslim rights, all these books we have. So Tawdihul Masail, in there he writes, you can make mut'ah prostitution for 1 hour. Let's say the time now is 11 o'clock. It's almost 11:20, we know that. But just to make it easy. So you give, somebody gives a girl $50, 50 rupees, 50 rand. She's happy, you don't need witnesses, nothing. You use her, abuse her for 1 hour, and then you tell her, go. So fine, that is permissible according to Shias. I'm asking you, such people can be Muslim who promote prostitution. So 100% haram it is. And the kuffar, we got absolutely no doubt in it. Having said all that, we must speak the truth. Quran says, وَلَا يَجْرِمَنَّكُمْ شَنَعَانُ قَوْمٍ عَلَىٰ أَلَّا تَعْدِلُوا اِعْدِلُوهُ أَقْرَبُ لِلتَّقْوَىٰ. When you hate the people, it doesn't mean you're not just with them. You must be just with them. The people who helped the Palestinians and Hamas and so forth, you must remember in their war, now if you want to call it a war or whatever, so you must remember in their resistance would be a better word, against the apartheid rogue regime of Israel was Iran. Remember that. They supplied them arms, they gave them a lot of support and so forth. Not the Sunni countries, because Sunni countries, Arab countries, majority of them or half of them want to curry favor with America and want to curry favor with Israel. They thought that Trump and Netanyahu will last forever. Both of them dumped by their own people and kicked out and unceremoniously. So remember that that is true. If you have to listen to the speech of Ismail Haniyeh, the leader of Hamas, he praised Iran for all their military assistance, material assistance and so forth and so on. But remember, Iran doesn't do things without a reason. There must be an ulterior motive. The ulterior motive is they want to get hold of Masjid al-Aqsa, they will have control, and then their final aim is to get control over Makkah Mukarramah, Madinah Munawwara. So that is the aim of the Dajjali Awlad. Remember that Dajjal, hadith in Sahih Muslim, يَخْرُجُ Dajjal min Isfahan. That Dajjal will emerge from Isfahan. I went to Isfahan. I spent 2 nights and 1 day there, remember that. So Isfahan is a place in Iran, and from there Dajjal will come. So this is how Dajjal's agents and comrades, that's how they operate, you must remember that. One side they'll be swearing, cursing Sahaba, and other side they'll be helping these people. But remember, it is done with a hidden agenda, ulterior motive. So may Almighty Allah protect us from the evil and the kufr and blasphemy of the Shias and their kuffar, 100%.
Anonymous sister wants to know, Ustad, they listening to the bliss of marriage right now. So anonymous sister says that my husband and I are going for Hajj, dear Mufti Saab, and my husband has taken the vaccine, but I have not taken the vaccine. So my marriage is on the rocks at the moment, because he says Allah has invited us, so why can't we take the vaccine? And she says, no, it is haram. How can you take the vaccine? Mufti Saab, please guide me. I need an answer by this Friday, or else my husband will divorce me. Ustad.
Where are you? In which country? There's no Hajj for anybody. Remember, only in Saudi Arabia they're allowing people. So there's no Hajj. You can't go for Hajj. So I don't know why you're arguing. Whether you're in South Africa, Maputo, Mozambique, you can't go for Hajj. They made it very clear. There's only 60,000 people allowed, and they must be Hujjaj al-Dakhili. No one is going to go from Maputo, Mozambique. No one is going to go from South Africa. No one is allowed to go from Africa. So I don't see why you're arguing and all these type of things. And the husband, you understand, terrorizing you like this. Both of you should grow up and remember this. Just today I sent out, you must remember on the groups, what one Zambian great doctor had to say about all these vaccines and so forth. He said, we think we must be stupid and we must be fools, you know, for their Europe, for America, all that, they made a different kind of vaccine. And for Africa and all that, they made a different kind. Yesterday, New News 24 carried the article that 2 million J&J, Johnson & Johnson vaccines are contaminated and so forth. So that was supposed to come here to South Africa, already came and so forth. So all these problems you have, so how can a person be taking this? But anyway, coming back to the Hajj story, just forget it, there's no Hajj for us. In Africa, in Asia and all that, it's only for Saudis, people who are Saudis or people who are residents there. That you call them people who are mukimin, people who stay there and so forth. And then they will have an application process. From there they will choose who will go. So you already disqualified, I'm disqualified, so there's no fighting and all these type of things.
I see Putta Yahya from Cape Town saying, please tell Mufti Saab, senior MJC member and wife in hospital, critical after taking vaccines. Ustad Putta Yahya.
Who is the person who's very critical? Because yesterday, you must remember, they said, sent a message. I don't know who sent it, but you know, people know we are in media, and you must remember that they said that the president of the MJC is going to take a vaccine and so forth, and it was somebody sent it to me, and now you're saying that as a senior member, he's very, very critical and so forth. So whoever took vaccine or you didn't take, but if you're critical, we'll still make dua for you. But if you're asking me regarding vaccine, everybody knows our fatwa. We say it's haram and not permissible. You must remember, for us as Muslims, three things you must know. Look at the ingredients of it. Number two is look at the problems it is causing. And you must remember, third one, they tell you it is to boost your immune system. But you see, some countries like Spain, Russia, Australia, they are saying now if you took the vaccine, you can't be even fly. The long haul journeys, 8, 9, 10 hours, because it leads to blood clot and all these type of things. When all these things are in front of us, we must be really naive and foolish, you know, that to go and take the vaccine. So that is where we stand. There are politicians, there are governments, there are pharmaceutical companies that are want to benefit, and it's millions and billions of dollars involved. So that is what is happening. Herd mentality. Herd mentality means they make us just like animals, you must, like zombies, you know. So we should be thinking, we can think independently and critically.
Was that somebody says that if a lady refuses to accept mehr, dowry from the husband, can the sheikh proceed officiating the nikah in the absence of the mehr? Ustad,
remember that for the nikah to be valid, the mahar does not have to be mentioned. For example, there are three scenarios. Number one is this: I am performing the nikah and I say the mahar is 20,000 rand, mahar e Fatimi, Kruger coin and so forth. That's fine. Or I say muttafaqa alayhi ay al-aqidan, that the two parties on whatever they agreed on, or muttafaqa alayhi zawjan, whatever the two parties agreed on, cash or kind, so that also is fine. And third one, if the wife, she says that she willingly and so forth, she will take the mahar, but she will give it back to the husband without any duress and coercion and so forth. So that is a prerogative, she can do so and so on. And you know, according to the Hanbalis and the Shafi'is, there is no minimum mahar as it is. So if the husband doesn't give anything, or he tell her, I'll teach you Surah Fatiha, I will teach you Qul Huwallahu Ahad, or one surah of the noble Quran. So all that will be permissible. But we need to understand things properly. Not that the husband is making big eyes, intimidating her, coercing her, applying pressure on her. All that would not be permissible.
Ustaz, I'm not understanding the question. Somebody says here, dear Mufti Saab, marriage is from Allah. How the tables turned at my daughter's nikah. A guy came to propose to my daughter, and she ended up marrying his brother. May Allah keep them happy. Ustad, anonymous.
Yes, it happened in Sahaba's time. You must remember that. One day the Sahabi, two of them went, and then one said, please, you go and speak to the family, speak to the lady, speak to the parents, and so forth. So he's supposed to go and speak on behalf of the person who's outside. When he came out from there, he told him, never mind you getting married, I got married to her. This happened in Sahaba's time. You can open Hayatul Sahaba and then you will find it. So yeah, mashallah, what happened is, that you must remember that ABC brother was show interest in your daughter. But instead of she marrying him, then what happened? Ma sha Allahu kan, wa ma lam yasha lam yakun. Whatever Allah decrees, that will happen. Whatever Allah does not decree, will not happen. ABC showed interest in your daughter, but XYZ married her. So remember, this is from Almighty Allah's sake. You accepted it, mashallah, your daughter is happy. So finish, but tell your daughter, she must be very careful between her and her husband's brother, that Mota, that brother who was interested in her, he and she, that is the brother-in-law and your daughter. Remember, parda, hijab is compulsory. Because sometimes he will try and poison this union based on jealousy, based on rage, fury. Why am I not married to her? How come my brother got married to her? You know, shaitan also comes. Yufarriquna bihi bayn al-mar'i wa zawji. So she must cement her marriage with her husband and make sure she does not have any contact with the husband's brother. Habibuna rahmatulil alameen sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, for all husbands, remember that their brother and you, the lady, you must fear the husband's brother. Alhamu al-maut, how you fear death, you must fear the husband's brother. And in a case like this, it's more so because he was interested in getting married to you. So therefore, you need to be also wide awake to see that he does not cause, you must remember, rows and ructions between you and your husband.
Allahu Akbar. I see someone wants to know, Ustaz, that my husband is sick. What dua is appropriate to make for them, knowing that they could attain the status of shaheed, Ustaz? So if I make dua for their recovery, then it's as if I am not a well-wisher for the status of shaheed. The sickness is of due to coronavirus, Ustaz.
No, you must make dua for their shifa. You must remember, it don't mean that if you're making dua for shifa, you are depriving them of martyrdom. No. Whenever a person is ill and sick, you must remember, you make dua for him. Anbiya alayhim wa salatu salam made dua. Write down, make notes of all this. Surah 21, Surah chapter 21, Surah Anbiya, the messengers. Verse 83, Nabi Ayyub alayhi salam was sick. The ulama have written approximately 7 years and so forth. He cried, he petitioned, he begged Almighty Allah Jalla Wala, and he made dua, Anni Masaniya Durru wa Anta Arhamur Rahimeen. Oh Almighty Allah, this calamity has struck me, and you Allah, you are the most merciful one to show mercy. So in a case like that, we must follow the Anbiya'i Musa'atu Salaam. Quran is teaching us that. Similarly, if the person is destined to die a martyr, he will pass away a martyr. But that does not mean that you don't make dua for him, whether it's your husband or whether it's your father or mother or whoever. Next one, you must remember that you as a wife, as a daughter, whoever, read Surah Fatiha 7 times, blow on him and do and take medication, remember that. Give out charity, Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam hadith, in the marasil of Imam Abu Dawood, Dawu mardakum bi sadaqa, give out for your ills charity, that also is one type of dawa and medication. So your reasoning there is not correct Islamically.
I see the brother says, I'm 41 years of age, dear Mufti Saab. My wife is very sickly. She's 33 years of age. And alhamdulillah, my wife's sister, she is making a khidmat. Doctor gave my wife 21 days to love, dear Mufti Saab. So, dear Mufti Saab, with your permission, can I prepare from now to get married to my wife's sister after my wife passes away? Can I tell her that, Ustad? They gave her 21 days to love, Ustad.
MashaAllah, it looks like you're just waiting for your wife to die. Yen mansa duert is another mansa bruit. You know Afrikaans by Buddha? Yen mansa duert is another mansa bruit. So yeah, it's not yen mansa duert, it's yen from mansa duert. You can't do all that, brother. You must be loyal to your wife and not start tuning up your wife's sister. All that is totally haram for you. And since when, what the doctors say, that is always true. I got so many experience of this, that one day I was in Durban, I mentioned this incident to you all before. So the one doctor told me, make sure you don't go far anywhere. I said, what's up? He said, you know that lady? I said, yes, it's our connection. that she won't be around tonight, definitely janaza, and they will tell you to perform janaza. She's still alive, the doctor is still alive. When I meet him, I asked him, what happened about your prognosis? He said, no, very bad mistake on my part, you see. So since when, if the doctor said 21 days, then definitely she will die. She can live for another 21 years, my brother. So nobody passes away because the doctor says so. The person will only pass away with the decree of Almighty Allah Jalla Wala. So many a times, you know, the doctor said, take this person, you must remember home. They brain dead, they does, they dead. They only got few days or few weeks to live and then finish. Till today, years have passed and they are living and so forth. But your intention is haram already. You're waiting for your wife to die and you're already busy tuning up your wife's sister. So you must, and your wife's sister also is happy. She's also tuning you up and smiling and all that. So it seems like that. So both of you are doing haram and this type of things there. So you must sever all ties with her, your wife's sister, and you must worry about your wife and so forth. Yes, anytime your wife passes away and thereafter you want to marry your wife's sister, she's happy, her parents are happy, then it's fine. But whilst you are married to her, you can't marry your wife's sister. Surah 4, verse number 23, وَأَن تَجْمَعُوا بَيْنَ الْأُخْتَيْنِ إِلَّا مَا قَدْ سَلَفْ. To combine two biological sisters one time in a nikah, totally haram. So you and that lady, your wife's sister, stay away from one another. No messaging, no texting, nothing like that. Because it seems you're already busy with haram dandas and haram activities.
Allahu Akbar. And the brother is saying, Ustad, we have become very close, dear Mufti Sahab, since he's making my wife's khidmat, Ustad.
Yeah, you became very close. You must remember that closeness is from shaitan. You must remember, sometime you and she will be alone. What Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, ma that whenever the man and the woman are alone, illa wa thalithuma ash-shaytan, then the third party there will be the shaitan. And she will start coming nearer and nearer to you, and you will start going nearer and nearer to her, and vichari, your wife, she's there in the bed, she can't see what's happening. So maybe a peck also will take place on the neck. You understood? So a lot of things can happen, my brother. So absolutely haram what you and your wife's sister are doing.
I see Anonymous says, I committed sin after sin, Honorable Ustad. How do I face my Allah, my Creator? I committed zina with a married man, and he forced me to abort. Ustad, till now I can't move on and forgive myself. I keep dreaming of this child. Ustad,
you must remember the first thing is when a person commits sin, then we must show regret and remorse. So you not only committed zina, sister, but you're a murderer as well. So it's multiple crimes. And your conscience is not allowing you to continue with life because you have that iman ki chingari. You have that spark of iman still. But Allah wants us to be successful. So what does Almighty Allah say? La taqnatu min rahmatillah. That you must never lose, you know, hope. And in the mercy of Almighty Allah, don't become disillusioned in the mercy of Allah. So first thing, admission of guilt. Second thing, no mitigating circumstances. You know you were wrong and you knew he's married. So, and I don't know whether you married or not, but for him is the death penalty. If you are not married and you slept with him, then for you is 100 lashes. And if you are married, then it's a death penalty. And then you went and you got impregnated by him, he impregnated you, then he told you, don't go for abortion and so forth, and you did that, so now you became a murderer. So you must remember the child will ask you tomorrow on the day of justice, وَإِذَا الْمَوْءُودَةُ سُئِلَتْ بِأَيِّ ذَنْبٍ قُتِلَتْ. The قُتِلَتْ, that in Islam, feticide, infanticide, both is haram. The baby is not born and you committed murder. The baby is born and people kill the baby. So all this totally haram. So you have to make sense and make sure you cut off all ties with him and so forth. He used you and you fell for the trick and so forth. So make sincere tawbah, cry to Almighty Allah and so forth. And Allah alone knows whether you are married or not married. If you are married, then your husband also must be a sleepy sleepy Joe, and he doesn't know what's happening and so forth. Whole day you're watching movies and soap operas and that. So you say, let's see, it's very exciting there to have an affair, an illicit relationship. But remember, it's our iman that tells us afterwards that my conscience is not allowing me. So sister, sincere tawbah is required. If you are sincere, one day Almighty Allah will forgive me, forgive you and all of us. But as things stand now, the way you described it, Islamically you're a zaniya and 100 lashes if you're not married. And if you are married, then the death penalty. And remember, you're guilty of murder Islamically for undergoing that abortion and termination of pregnancy.
I see the sister says, with due respect, Mufti Saab Maaf, I would like not to answer that question, Ustad, whether she's married or not married, Ustad.
You don't have to answer me. I'm just here to explain to you the laws of the Sharia, my sister. So the point is, you must understand the gravity of the sin. You don't have to answer me anything. I don't know you, but I can only help you along that you must understand what the grievous sin it is and what the great penalty and punishment there is. So always beg Almighty Allah, Jalla wa Ala, for forgiveness. And if you are sincere, we all make mistakes in life. So Allah Ta'ala is Ghafoorur Rahim, very, very forgiving, very merciful.
14 minutes to 12 o'clock, somebody says, Ustad, how to deal with mother-in-law and sister-in-law's children, Ustad, children.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. You must understand that in Islam, every one of us got hukuk and hudud. These are two words we must remember. Hukuk, what are my rights? What are the wife's rights? What are my mother-in-law's rights? What are father-in-law's rights? Like that, you continue with every person. As a teacher, what are my rights? What are the students' rights? As a parent, what are my rights? My children's rights? Like that. You called it hukuk, haq and hukuk. Then there are hudud. Hudud means the limitations, the borders, the boundaries. So both have to go hand in hand. So now let's take a classical example, typical example. You are married, you got your children, everything. Now your mother-in-law comes, your daughter, your sister-in-law comes, your husband's sister and so forth, and they come with the children and so forth, and they want to stay there by your house. So very good if they take permission and they stay there, so they're staying there 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, so you go out of your way, you make their ikram and so forth. Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam's authentic hadith in Tirmidhi, man kana yu'minu billahi wal yawmil akhir, fal yukrim daifa, that whoever believes in Almighty Allah and the last day, then you must honor your guest and so forth. So that is one scenario. Second scenario is whenever there's holidays, they just come and park up there and then they expect everything to be ready, and you as the wife, so you are the wife and that is your mother-in-law or that is your sister-in-law and her children. They want, all the meals must be ready, their whole clothing must be washed and all that. They're not prepared to help you anything. So you can tell them next time, you go stay by the hotel, you go stay somewhere else. Because you must remember, they can't be just parking off there and so forth. Because they are house people in this sense, it is your husband's sister, it is your husband's mother and so forth. So they also must realize that they can't just park off there and make you like the khadima, like the maid and all that, pitch up there with 3, 4, 5 children, bring mother-in-law, all that. So remember to serve mother-in-law, sister-in-law, very good. But they also, it takes two to clap hands, you know. You can't have it one way only. So it's a give and take. And whatever you are doing for them, you are doing them a favor. It's not something incumbent and compulsory upon you. So that's why I told you, these are two terms you need to always understand in life. Hukuk, the rights you have. And hudud, what are the boundaries and the limitations. So put all together, combine it, then you can live in harmony and peacefully.
A listener says, what is the status, Ustad, of a person's salah? If you have performed salah behind such a hafiz, it is in brackets illegitimate. But you have doubts as to whether he is born out of wedlock or not, Ustad. Anonymous.
Your salat is totally valid. There's no problem with that. Your salat, the congregation salat, is totally valid. The masla in Islam is this, that if he, the son, he is illegitimate, his father mother, let's just use inverted commas, they struck up an illicit relationship, and then the baby was born, that he was born 15, 20, 30 years ago, and obviously there's no sin upon him, he's a ma'asum, innocent child at that time there, and then they got married, and they had 3, 4, 5 children after that. Oh, as soon as they realized that the lady is pregnant, boyfriend, girlfriend, all that is haram, and 100 lashes must be given to both parties, Surah 24, Surah Nur, verse 2, فَجْلِدُوا كُلَّ وَاحِدٍ مِّنْهُمَا مِيَةَ جَلَّةٍ وَلَا تَأْخُذْكُمْ بِهِمَا رَأْفَةٌ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ. You must give them 100 lashes each, the boy and the girl, and don't show them any mercy and compassion, Quran says, and it must be done in public so that it becomes a deterrent to people. And people must know that no one must go and indulge in these type of haram things. Thereafter they got married, so irrespective of the duration, according to Shafi'is, Maliki's, Hanbali's, majority scholars, the child is haram child. And the lineage will go to the mother of that child, not to the father. Hanafis only say, only Hanafi scholars, they say we will look at Tariqun Nikah, the date of the Nikah, and Tariqul Wilada, the day of the birth of the baby. If 6 months or more has elapsed, then the lineage of that boy, that girl, will go to the father, because the minimum period of gestation, the minimum period of pregnancy, أَقَلُّ مُدَّةِ الْحَمَلِ سِتَّةُ أَشْهُرُ. So the minimum period, remember, for gestation pregnancy is 6 months. So only Hanafis will say in that case, the lineage of that son, daughter will go to the father. That they will say is ثَابِتُ النَّسَبُ. But if it's less than 6 months, then even Hanafis will say it's haram child, and the lineage will go to the mother. But majority scholars say in all cases, it will go to the mother. Now when that person became a Hafiz, he became an Imam, he became a Sheikh and so forth. So we will tell him as advice. One is iftar, one is fatwa. One is irshad. We give him advice. So this is irshad. So we will tell him, you know what, your father, mother made a mistake, as that you were born and so forth, maybe you're aware, maybe you're not aware, but in a case like that, it's better for you not to make imamate in this town, because in this town, yeah, everybody knows about it, so rather go to another place and so forth, and there you make your imamate and so forth. But if he makes imamate there where the people know, the salat is done, but remember that it is better that he does not make imamate, because always the people will continue speaking about that and so forth. See, I give you what you call nazir in our Islamic terminology. Allah forbid, Allah forbid. We live in a sordid world. We live in a toxic society. Remember that. Today people, you know, common sense is no more common, you know. So in Islam, you must remember, if a person commits bestiality, Allah forbid, ABC person get busy with the animal. You know, understood? So Islam say for him there will be serious punishment. But that animal there, faqtulu, you must kill that animal. But the animal did not commit the crime in that. He committed the crime. The problem is, once you leave that animal, people will always see it and say, he did this. You know, I'll tell you one story about this. Mm-hmm. So you must remember, so therefore Islam says that, get rid of the animal and the story will die. When we were young boys, you know, that in town masjid in Heidelberg, our Heidelberg masjid is very historic and so forth. So we were not baligh, nothing. But remember, our ustads, they used to tell us Thursday, Friday morning or whatever, like no school, it's public holiday, or Thursday afternoon, come on, you go there and clean the masjid and that. So they had that red musallas, you know. So the last musalla, the last two day, the last two musallas were missing. You can make out somebody took a scissor and cut it, you know. So when we asked some of the old people, okay, we were becoming Hafiz then. So we asked them, Baji, who tell you? I mean, this, why this Musalla is like that? Then they used to laugh, you know. Then they used to say, you see that guy there? I said, yes. He said, he urinated here. So people say, you don't wash it, you just cut the whole musalla off. You know? Otherwise, in a case like that, you can just wash it. But in those days, people were extra pious, so they decided to cut the whole musalla off. You understood? So now the hai bans na baje pansri. You must remember that in Urdu you say. So that is what they... So Islamic, you just wash it and it's fine. But they cut the whole thing and threw it away and so forth. So that is what we will say. But your salat is totally valid. There's no problem with that.
I see a varsity student to start. He says, I am currently in need of some marriage advice, dear Mufti Saab. There is a girl that I would like to marry, but my parents are not happy. They allowed me to get engaged, but because of the treatment I was getting from them, I called the engagement off to make them happy. My question is, was this the right thing to do? Have I pleased Allah by calling the engagement off to make my parents happy? I would really like to marry this girl. My heart is shattered. Please advise, student of Deen Ustad.
We need to analyze the situation. You know, there are certain words there, my brother, my son, that are really ambiguous. You want to get married to that girl. It seems that she wants to marry you. It seems that her parents, you must remember, are also fine that taking you as a son-in-law. What do you really mean that the treatment you were getting? You understand? That is the word that I'm confused with. That the treatment, what? Weren't they giving you presents? Weren't they giving you gifts? Were they treating you shabbily and so forth and so on? So you must remember, the way I read the situation, I could be wrong. But I think there's more to it here. You are a apra, you are a Gujarati, Surti or whatever. And the girl's family, you must remember, maybe Urdu, maybe Mehman or whatever. I'm just thinking aloud. I'm not saying it is like that. And therefore, the parents also are reluctant and so forth. And they said no. So they looking for every excuse for you to break it. And you looking for every excuse that the marriage must go ahead. So you can tell us whether I'm reading the situation correctly or not. Is it more of a language problem? Is it more of a culture problem? And so forth and so on. Because when you say their treatment was not good, so that word there, I still don't understand properly what you really mean by that. So anyway, for you, make istikhara and see what your istikhara tells you. And we will always advise. See, this is the fatwa. I told you just now, one is iftar and one is irshad. The fatwa is this. The girl still needs her parents or father's permission and them to and that to marry you. You don't need your father mother's permission. That's the fatwa. But we will not encourage that. We will tell you always take the blessings of your parents and then you will go far in life. So this is what you must do. Make istikhara. Allahumma khirli wakhtarli. If it comes out positive, get some Maulana, Imam, Sheikh day in your town. Speak to your parents and so forth. They tell them, you know what, Poirone nikah karwanu. He wants to get married there. His mind is set and everything. And the girl is good, the family is good. So don't let us cause problems like that. You will force him to get married somewhere else. He might do so, but he won't be happy and so forth. So that is my advice. First istikhara, then get somebody to speak from your family of the ulama, to speak to your parents, and then you go forward and so forth.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. I see the varsity student says, gee, dear Mufti Saab, there is more to it. Ustad.
The motive is another ambiguity, you understood? So anyway, so I think that that is the problem there. That your parents, maybe they are apras, you know, that they call words or they does and does, and they think that Norm and this family is not our class. Now all this here got no standard, no bearing in Islam. We are bringing the Hindu culture. The Hindus, they got this class system, you must remember. If you go even today to India, you must remember, they got the untouchables and so forth and so on. In Islam, all this got no place at all. It's asabiya that. And it is, you must remember, partisanship. And remember that that is wrong. My advice to you, the parents of the boy, if that is your only reason, that you are apras and you are Surti, Gujarati, Colbert, whatever, and this girl and her family are Urdu or Mehman or whatever you, so therefore you want to deprive your son of his happiness, then you are wrong. Remember that. You should give the permission to your son and tell him, you must remember that get married, we give you blessings.
Allahu Akbar. I see the varsity student is making lots of dua for you. He wants to come and overcome and meet you. He says, gee, Muftisab, that is the problem. We are Kanams and the girl is a Mammon, but my parents are not happy at all, Muftisab.
Yeah, it's all, you know. I had to read a lot between the lines there to come to that, you see. So, Kanams got these things here. I don't say all. Kanams, culverts, this, that, surtis. Obviously, we don't say all. But many of them, they got this thing here. So, what are you trying to say? You are first class, and the Mammon people, the second class, third class. So, I mean, that is Jahiliyyah, that is. It's got no place in Islam. It's your Indian Hindu culture. You must remember this type of things there. So, anyway, still whatever it is, I will tell you, you should take your parents to ask. But by the same token, I will tell your parents that what you are doing is un-Islamic and it belongs to Jahiliyyah. It's got no place at all in Islam. Quran Kareem states, "Afahukm al-Jahiliyyati yabghun." Are you still looking for the laws of Jahiliyyah? وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ مِنَ اللَّهِ حُكْمًا لِقَوْمِ يُقِنُونَ. Who can give you better laws than Almighty Allah, than a pure people, for a people who got Iman and Yaqeen? So let both parties get married. You must remember that. So what the children will be? They will be 51, 49. So 51 Kanam and 49 Mammon. So you must remember this type of thing. Anyway, my advice, I don't know you, I don't know the other family, but remember, it's very, very unfortunate. In this day and this age, we want to bring the Hindu culture into Islam and we think we are very pious. So whether it is a Kanam, whether it is a Kolvert, whether it is a Mammon, whoever it is, and that is your thinking mentality, it's condemned in Islam and there's no place in Islam.
I see, by Nigel says, Muftisab, you just hit the nail. That's what Bart says. Ustad, one more question before we go, inshallah, for the 12 o'clock news. Somebody says here, I met a mother who has a daughter out of wedlock, Ustad. Would it be permissible to marry her daughter with the same age, Ustad?
Remember that before I answer that, quickly let me give you the rundown. 12 o'clock there'll be news. Then 12 to 1, Brother Lamin Templeton, inshallah, with the current affairs. 1 o'clock will be Adhan. 105 to 130, Surah Namal, chapter 27, verses 87 to 90. Then 130 to 2, Surah Anfal, verses 9 to 11. 2 to 3, Madrasa on air by Mona Zahid Khan. 3 to 3:30, the repeat of this morning's Q&A with Mona Arafat, very interesting. 3:35, 3:40 with Brother Lamin Templeton till 5 o'clock, and that will be on business, the economics, views and news and so forth. 5 to 7, remember, will be our Mona Khalid Yaqub. 7 to 7:30 will be the repeat of today's tafsir. 7:30 to 8 will be Maulana Yunus Patel, Rahimullah's advisors. 8 to 10 will be our brother Shafaat Ahmad Khan, the month after the So, what was the question again, Maulana?
Let me just see, Ustad. I think it was something about...
Person got married. He met a lady, and that lady's daughter is out of wedlock. You must remember she was born and so forth. So, in a case like that, the lineage of that lady goes to the mother. So, you must remember, if you want to marry a girl who is, you must remember... she was born as a haram child, illegitimate child. So yes, if the family is happy, you happy, you can marry her. But you must remember this, that she, her lineage will go to her mother and not to her father. That's of paramount importance.
Well, it's time up, Ustad. We change it. Jazakumullah khairan to you, Ustad, inshallah. Ustad, any messages from your side, inshallah?
Then, mashallah, make dua for all those who have passed away and all those who are ill and sick. Allah give them shifa. Those who passed away, Allah ta'ala grant them jannatul firdaus.
Ameen.
And Allah ta'ala grant all the family sabre jameel. Ameen, ya Rabbal Alameen.
Well, after we go now to the 12 o'clock news, inshallah, with myself and my beloved Fadilatul Ustad. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Marcus Sahaba Online Radio, serving you wherever you are.